Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurka Butler joins us once again to bring us stories from other parts of the world. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting?
Right, Belarus we're going to go to next. Though I suppose the decision against this particular Olympic coach was made outside Belarus. But,
good point.
Yeah, this person has received a ban.
Yes, he has. This relates to a story that goes all the way back to the Olympics in Tokyo, would you believe, in August. Was it July and August or just August? But anyway, August, around about that time, 2021. And it involves a female athlete by the name of Kristina Tsimanouskaya, okay? And Tsimanouskaya is a sprinter, right? So she runs 100 metres, 200 metres. And she was put forward as part of a 31-member team that went out to the Tokyo Olympics. She was put forward for the 4x400 relay. Mm. And she wasn't happy about that for two reasons. First, she wasn't told about it. Second of all, because she doesn't run 400 metres, very different from 100 metres and 200 metres, right? So she took to social media and she said, I'm not happy about this. And her coach and the authorities that were with the coach weren't particularly happy about it either, right? So they decided to send her home, right? Now, this whole bit of tension and this argument between the two of them, between the coaches and between this female athlete, went on for a couple of days. And the Olympic village, or the organisers of the Olympics in Tokyo, got involved, and they took the accreditation away from this particular coach. But they still managed to get this female athlete to the airport, and they tried to put her on the plane back to Belarus. Now, when she got to the airport, she rang her grandmother, okay, to tell her, okay, I'm being sent back home. Her grandmother said, you need to try your best not to come back home here, right, because the state-controlled media are out to get you. They think you've let the country down, and they're sort of saying, how dare you go against the coaches out there. And it's also worth bearing in mind that Lukashenko, who of course is the president of Belarus, was head of the Belarusian Olympic Committee.
All right.
So, and this was only a year after, of course, he had won, inverted commas, that controversial election, and there was crackdowns against him. So he was out for blood. Any dissent, he was going to try and take people down. So between the jigs and the reels, she managed to get a translation on her phone and show the police in Japan and say to them, listen, I don't want to go back home. Can you give me some protection here? And they did, in fairness to them, right? So they whisked her away. She went to the Polish embassy in Tokyo. She got a visa to go to Poland, and that's where she's been ever since, right? So she's okay now. And she's actually, she ran for Poland, I think, last year in the World Championships and did okay, right? Okay. And she's probably going to run for them again in France. So in the meantime, this coach, Yuri Moisevich, he's 63-year-old, was investigated for his part, the part that he played in this particular scandal. And he has now been banned for 5 years from taking part in anything to do with world athletics whatsoever. Now, he's probably not too upset about it, given the fact that, you know, he's retired. And also, you know, 5 year ban. He could get back in the game, I suppose, in whenever it is, February of 2029. There's no sign of him appealing it at this stage. And as to where he is at the moment, I assume he's back in Belarus and he's been patted on the back by Lukashenko for standing up for the country.
Or perhaps not for losing an athlete. I wonder would there be ramifications from that.
Well,
I would imagine you're supposed to come back with the same amount you went with.
That is a good point, all right. But there had been plenty of controversy surrounding this team. In fact, one of the reasons why she was probably put into the 4x400 relay team was because there had been a few doping scandals around the team already. And that's why she was probably put into that position. A position she didn't want to be in.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's been given this 5-year ban by the Athletics Integrity Unit because he abused the dignity of the athlete and so on.
Yeah, it took them quite a while to come to this.
It did actually, now that you mention it, yeah. 2 years, 3 years, yeah, I suppose it did actually.
Canada we're going to go to next. And I suppose this is kind of we hear iterations around these kind of stories of the way First Nations were treated in Canada and in North America in general. This is to do with secret medical experiments.
Yeah, and what's weird about this, and I get what you're alluding to there, but an awful lot of that is historic. So there's cases from the 1940s where Indigenous children were starved because the government wanted to do a research program to see how people would be affected by starvation. I wonder what insights they got from that.
Yeah.
But this is more modern, okay? Very much so, right? So this actually happened, the incident itself or incidents happened in 2017, okay? And it involved, I suppose specifically we'll start with one person, a woman by the name of Andrea Paul. She's a chief of a First Nation called the Pictou Landing First Nation. So they're based up in Nova Scotia, okay? And they're part of a tribe called the Mi'kmaq tribe, okay?
Okay.
Beautifully named tribe. Herself and 60 other members of this Pictou Landing Nation were involved in a project that was administered or run by the Canadian Alliance for Healthy Hearts and Minds. And effectively what they had to do is they had to go into an MRI and they got tests taken or whatever you do in an MRI, right? And that was for this particular study. But what she noticed, what this particular woman noticed, was that she was held back and she was brought in for a second MRI. Now, at the time, she just assumed, okay, they must just be doing it again. That can happen and it's part of this same program. However, she found out a year later that she hadn't, in fact, she had been involved in that first study, but the second MRI was for another study that she didn't know about and 60 other people from her tribe didn't know about. And the Canadian Alliance for Healthy Hearts and Minds didn't know about. Two radiologists had apparently gone on a bit of a solo run, a man by the name of Robert Miller and a woman by the name of Sharon Clark, and they put a study together, which they then titled MRI Findings of Liver Disease in an Atlantic Canada First Nations Population. So they had just gone ahead and done a study on these people without telling them. And what what's more amazing about this is that it seems that a year after it happened, this woman, Andrea Paul, met with Robert Miller. Now, this wasn't just some, 20-year-old radiologist who decided to try and make a name for himself. This was a university professor who used to be head of the Canadian Association of Radiology. So he would have known a lot about ethics and that kind of thing. So they met each other. And this guy, Robert Miller, seems to have said to her, hey, listen, by the way, we did this study and we delivered it at a conference and aren't we great? As in, the usual thing, we're doing you a favour. Like, we're bringing you religion, we're civilising you, we're giving you healthcare, that kind of thing. She wasn't happy about it at all. And so now she and these 60 other people are taking a class action lawsuit, which has now been certified by the Supreme Court in Nova Scotia, which basically means it's going to go ahead.
But it was just MRIs. Were they doing anything else to them?
Don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. It was just the MRIs. But look, these guys are seeking declaration from the defendants for lots of different things: an invasion of privacy, unlawful imprisonment, negligence, various different things.
Yeah. Crikey, it's amazing, even that recently, that they can heedlessly do that.
Yeah, they think they can get away with it. And then sort of the arrogance to meet them then. I'll just meet you for a coffee and tell you about it. Did a study,
Right, Uzbekistan we're going to go to next. This seems to be a very tragic story. Deaths connected to cough syrup.
Yeah, this one stood out to me, mainly because we had seen a story about this before, and I thought it was a repeat of it, in fact.
Mm.
We saw it towards the end of last year, but it was actually in another country. In the Gambia, where something like this happened. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
66 children died in that particular case. This is in Uzbekistan, as you said, and this relates to the deaths of 68 children, okay, from taking cough syrup that was manufactured by an Indian company called Marion Biotech, okay, and was distributed by a company called Quaramax Medical in Uzbekistan. Now, initially, the discovery was made in a region of Uzbekistan called Samarkand, and it was in December of 2022, 18 children were found to have died in this one region and they had been given this particular cough syrup. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, it was manufactured by this crowd, Marion Biotech. They eventually put two and two together. They were able to trace it back. The WHO launched an investigation and by January they had issued the results of that investigation saying that the cough syrups were substandard, right? It went back to the health ministry in India, who did their own investigation. And by March, so that's what, just 3 months later, they had stopped the manufacture of this particular cough syrup and they had shut the company down. So they moved relatively quickly, you have to say. Not too bad. But by the end of it all, 68 children in total had died. Okay, and so now the trials have decided to, they've prosecuted 23 people are being sent to prison with ranges in sentencing from 2 to 20 years. So the fallout from it has been extraordinary.
Yeah, and is it the same cough syrup has caused the previous deaths that you're
in the Gambia?
Yes.
No. It's
wow.
From exactly, and that's what makes it even more interesting, I suppose is the wrong word, but shocking, I suppose. The other cough syrups that were in Gambia were made by another company called the Maiden Pharmaceuticals, and that investigation is actually ongoing, as far as I know.
Mm.
So that nobody's been prosecuted there, and even the Indian government are still standing over Maiden Pharmaceuticals, whereas they shut down the other crowd.
They seem to be
standing over these guys.
Curious that they both came from India, though.
Well, it's a very big manufacturer, apparently, in medical supplies. But it's not, if you want to look at it from their point of view, which is not really the way to look at it, but let's do it for the sake of it. It's very bad for the image of that industry in that country.
Yeah.
These two cases come about.
You would have thought so. The people who have been sentenced in Uzbekistan, are they all locals?
So, no, there's various different people. So one of them, one of the men who got 20 years was the chief executive of Quarimax Medical, the distributors in Uzbekistan. He was Indian. But there were quite a few officials from the Ministry for Health in Uzbekistan who were sentenced as well. So it's a mixture of people from
That's
the two companies.
Yeah.
Or from the distributor at least, and from the ministry as well. So officials have been sentenced, sorry.
Burkina Faso we're going to go to next, and 15 people have been killed when they're in church.
Yeah, so it's a quick story, but again, it's just a continuation of this sad story that we keep seeing across the Sahel. Niger, Mali and Burkina Faso of late has been dragged into it. This particular village is called Essakane, small village in the three border zones, so on the border with Mali and Niger.
Mm.
And there's been a lot of fighting and quite a few attacks on various different groups. I mean, Muslims have been drawn into this as well. But I mean, this is an Islamist, an extremist group that went into a church on Sunday during Sunday worship, and they opened fire on people. 15 people were killed, so 12 on site, and then 3 died later. Many more were injured. And of course, you know, it's there. This kind of an attack is there and is carried out to sow division.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
In a country where people of different religions used to get along quite well, to be honest. Like, there was always political problems, but the religious difficulties weren't as apparent. That seems to be developing a little bit, and you'd have to say that is what many of these groups want to happen, is to sow division.
Yes, indeed. And is it particularly dangerous to be a Christian there now?
According to one organisation, there's a charity, which should be said, that looks after persecuted Christians across the world. They're called Open Doors. I think they're based in the UK. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But they basically say that Burkina Faso, out of 50 countries, Burkina Faso is ranked 20 in the world. Now, North Korea, according to them, is the worst place to be a Christian.
Okay.
So, Burkina Faso, you're not doing great if you're a Christian there.
Well, I'd imagine North Korea isn't great to be anything.
No, I don't
really.
Think so.
Right, Ghana, we're going to go to finally. They had a power cut, but at a really inopportune time.
Yes, and in a place that really shouldn't be having power cuts, and that is the parliament. And as you say, an inopportune time, because it happened during a debate on the president's State of the Nation speech. Now, it wasn't during his speech, but a debate on it, thankfully. So they were in the middle of the debate and the lights went out. Apparently some parliamentarians and some people who were working in parliament were also trapped in a lift for a couple of minutes, and it looks very, very bad. And the reason for it is because the parliament owed the Electricity Company of Ghana, which is a state-run company, the equivalent of 1.6 million euros, and they hadn't paid their bill. Now, there was a backup generator that they started up, and the lights came back on in the main chamber of parliament, but it wasn't restored to the rest of the building until much later on, and apparently wasn't restored until half of the bill, or just over half of the bill, was paid over. Now, there's a dispute going on now as to how much they actually owe, and the people who run parliament are saying, we don't owe that much. the electricity company of Ghana, the ECG, are saying, yes, you do. You need to cough up the rest of it. So there could be, the lights could go out yet again.
Yeah, but one assumes that the electricity company of Ghana could have pulled the plug at any time. The fact that it was during the debate over the president's speech, I'm sure, was just a coincidence.
I'm not too sure. I'll be honest with you, but they made no apology about doing it. Their communications manager, or whatever you want to call him, came out and said that disconnections are for everybody. Anyone who doesn't pay and fails to make arrangements, the team will disconnect, which I thought was a great quote.
Which is a great quote, and it kind of shows that, I suppose the Parliament's just like anyone else. So what should we look out for over the next week or so, Jonathan?
Yeah, a few things coming up, obviously. On March the 8th is International Women's Day. Obviously here in Ireland we have the vote. Isn't that on that day?
That isn't the same day,
which
that's
isn't
true.
International news, I know, yeah. But it's making international headlines. The 9th, there's going to be protests in the UK about the ongoing situation in Palestine, but they've been going on for a while. But I suppose what makes these interesting is that it's the first protest since Rishi Sunak made those comments about the country being ruled by mobs, or the mob ruling the country. And he seemed to be encouraging the police to take a tougher line with protesters. Mm. So we might see a few eggs being thrown on the 9th. Then on the 10th, on Sunday, of course, it's the Oscars. And then on the same day, there are parliamentary elections in Portugal.
And also Mother's Day.
Oh, God, it is Mother's Day.
Yes. Yes. All over the country, people are going,
Mother's Day.
Yes, it is Mother's Day, yes. Jonathan, thanks a million as ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.